live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we meet faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is September 2022. Aye. Aye. The month has moved, the year has moved very fast. September. I don't want to do business as usual. Hallelujah. You need to go back and review your life and review the things you're meant to do this year. And change gear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did you hear me? Change gear. If you've been running on gear one since January, it's time to change gear. Hallelujah. Meaning change your momentum. Change the way you do things. Hallelujah. We all know that things don't necessarily work with time. Glory to God. Things changed by the application of truth. Hallelujah. Rather, things actually get worse with time. Hallelujah. When you sweep your room this morning, or let's say you sweep your room every day, if you leave that room for 1 month, when you come back, the room will not be as neat as you left it. You will see dust, you see cobwebs. Am I right? Yes. Meaning over time, there's a law of sin and death at work. So there is degradation over time. So if you want time to work for you, you must be aggressive in the application of truth. You must be aggressive in certain practices. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me this evening? So don't be casual about your life, especially in this season. So push for those things you trust in God for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right. On Sunday, we started a new series. Hallelujah. On taking the lead. How many of you are blessed on Sunday? You had a wonderful time. Hallelujah. I enjoyed myself too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we'll continue today on taking the lead. And the subtopic here is lead where you are. You can write it down. Hallelujah. Lead where you are. That's my subtopic. Amen. Undertaking the lead for today. Glory to God. We'll start from that same scripture. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 to 28. Hallelujah. You know, I remember on Sunday we started by saying that there's a major challenge, leadership challenge right now. Our society, in our environment, in the systems around us. That's why things are not working, things are failing because of the leadership issue. Like John Maxwell said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Hallelujah. And we started talking about and stressing the fact that leadership is first of all about your nature and your calling in God. Hallelujah. Is a nature you have. The secular world, you were told that are leaders born or leaders are made. And I said in the kingdom, leaders are born. Hallelujah. We are born leaders. Glory to God. You were born to take the lead. Hallelujah. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness and let them have dominion. So before he gave that mandate, he created them in the image and his likeness. So we're created to look like God, to be like God, to function like Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That means you were created of leadership material. Hallelujah. And that's the nature of God. So you have that leadership material wired inside you. So every believer has the nature and capacity for leadership. But not many believers are taking the lead. Not many believers are taking that responsibility. Not many believers are serving where God has placed them. Hallelujah. So leadership is in our nature. Hallelujah. Give me Galatians chapter 6. We read that scripture. Verse 4 and verse 5. The Message translation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So every human is born with a leadership capacity, with a leadership potential. Like I said, no matter who you are, your color, your sex, level of education or not, you are born a leader. You are born with that capacity to lead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given. Remember, I connected leadership with your identity and your assignment, right? Glory to God. Very important. You know, it's amazing that everything we do in this life is connected to our identity. Every area, just look at it. You want to have a wonderful relationship. If you do not have a good revelation of yourself, it won't work. In the business place, everything flows from within. So it's foundational. Knowing who you are, it is foundational. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was saying who you are is not the opinion of your brother or the opinion of others or the opinion of the world system. And we said every temperament is subject to God's word. Hallelujah. Yes. So you must understand your identity is very powerful. Your identity in Christ. Who you are in Christ. Then sink yourself into that. So your identity and your assignment. Your identity and your assignment. Very important. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say this. The desire to lead is in everybody. We all have that inherent desire to take charge of our world or to be in charge or to lead. Now, the world system has made people to believe that, well, leadership is for those that are, what I call them, extroverts now. That, okay, once you are an introvert, you don't really have that leadership capacity. And that's a lie. Everyone has that nature of leadership. But what happens is their area of calling that determines the type of leadership. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no temperament right now that when you study and you want to go on a global scale, that you will not find an influential leader there. Glory to God. Yes. So we are all born to lead. He said, let them have dominion. So he gave them that mandate to take charge of their environment, to take charge of the circumstances around them. So you must awake to this responsibility you have as a believer. Take charge of where you are. Lead where you are. I will say leadership, according to the scriptures, is not tied to title, position, authority, okay, power, you know, lordings over people. No. You can lead where you are. You don't need a title to lead. You don't need a title to command influence where you are. You can come to an organization, the people that make things work, they are not necessarily the top leaders. just those in the CEOs or the managers. Not necessary. Glory to God. Are you following me this evening? Lead where you are. We are made out of leadership material, and that's the nature of God. So it's okay if you desire to be a leader. Amen. Glory to God. If it's a desire, God put it there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what, who you are determines what you do. We've said that. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the assignment you've been called, and sink yourself into that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now lead where you are. Give me that Matthew 28 from verse 18 to 20. The emphasis here, I'm going to narrow our focus to service or servant leadership. Hallelujah. Because you see, that's the greatest secret to leadership, to becoming great in life. It is service. Service. So Matthew 28, we read it the last on Sunday. Now, glory to God. Are you with me? Matthew 28 from verse 18. Yes. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now we can stop there. Go into all nations and make disciples of the nations. Make disciples. Make disciples. If you remember in second service, I was talking to us about how that we have all received an assignment, that great commission. Everybody has it as a vision or as a mandate. God has given to us that mandate. Now, your own vision or personal assignment is a subset of this general assignment. Are you following? Go, therefore, make disciples of the nation. And I thank God because of the knowledge that is proliferating everywhere in the church and for the revelation that people have come to know that doing ministry is not just those exclusive to those on the pulpit. You know that in your business place, you are doing ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In the marketplace, you are doing ministry. In the banking sector, you are doing ministry. So it's a calling. We all have that calling. But the question is, are you leading where you are? In that sector, are you taking charge? Are things working where you are? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about giving unto us the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. So it's a ministry, it's a calling that we all have. But you see, you must get to a point where you begin to intentionally do things to influence that sector for the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are to be source of positive influence in our world. God created us as change agents on the earth. Give me Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, 14, and 15. We read it on Sunday. I just want us to read it again. He said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? Meaning, wherever God has placed you, you should provide taste. Things should work there. There should be preservation there. Hallelujah. I've seen believers in the marketplace that you can't even differentiate them from non-believers. You cannot differentiate what they do from unbelievers. No impact, no influence, nothing. And that's not God's vision for us as believers. He wants us to take responsibility for where we are. Hallelujah. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be casted out and to be trodden underfoot of men. He now said, you are the light of the world. And we said, The usefulness of light is in the presence of darkness. Glory to God. So we're not trying to, oh Father, take us out of this world. Okay, we're trying to escape from the world. No. We are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of that sector where you are. In that family, you are the light there. In that business, you are the light. Hallelujah. You are the light. You know, say, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. Let the light shine. Meaning, lead where you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your presence, wherever you are, should bring order and structure to it. Your presence in that company should trigger or stimulate productivity. Glory to God. So lead where you are. Take charge. Take responsibility. It was John F. Kennedy that said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And that's a sign of taking responsibility. If things are not working where you are, what are you doing about it? You know, while we're in medical school, studying and everything, we always see certain doctors that tell you, well, all these things that, you know, as I practice medicine, as I live my life, you know, the people will see their lives will be impacted. That's passive. Listen, you cannot affect your world passively. You must be intentional. If you want to influence your world or your ethnos for the gospel, you have to be intentional. Meaning there are things you would have to do consistently. Hallelujah. Otherwise, there's no difference between you and the hidden people. You have to be intentional. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said you don't need a title to lead or make an impact in an organization. You can lead from where you are, because every organization places value on people. People that make impact. People that move things. It's just that because of our environmental conditioning, we'll be so used to title. Now, are we saying title is not important? No. Because title sometimes comes with some level of authority, okay, to do what you're meant to do. But you see, you don't need to wait for title to lead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's read what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 20, from verse 20 to 28. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not designed to control others. I said it last time. Because no man was created to be dominated. Every man has that dominion mandate with him. So if you're trying to dominate another man, that is witchcraft. That's oppression. And that's what Jesus was saying. You know, he said the Gentiles lord it over their people. And he gave us the greatest secret of leadership. But I want us to read from verse 20. I believe the scripture is projected. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. What are their names again? Let me see, Bible student. Eh? James and John. Children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Next verse. And he said unto her, what will thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy kingdom. What a desire. What do you think will happen to the other remaining disciples? Imagine a mother came with her sons. You know, okay, this is my own desire. In your kingdom, let one sit here, let the other one sit here. But Jesus said something. You know what ye ask? Are you able? Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Oh, King James. Give me new King James. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Give me new King James. Hallelujah. You do not know what you ask. Better. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Next verse. He said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is preferred by my Father. Next verse. Now, we know what happened. When the other 10 heard it, they were angry. So these guys are trying to find their way, okay, to get certain positions and the rest. But guess what? Jesus did not rebuke their desire for it. What he did was he showed them the way. He told them the secret. He told them what to do. Listen, every man desires to be a leader. Or every man desires to lead. I said, no, me, I don't really desire to lead. You are lying. When circumstances and challenges come at you and you are frustrated, the reason is because you are wired to take charge of circumstances. You are wired to lead, not to be under the dominion of challenges. Are you getting it? Next verse. They were displeased with the two brothers. Okay. Next verse. 25. Now Jesus called to them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. So he was giving them the perspective of how the world system see leadership. How they operate. And those who are great exercise authority over them. You know, I cannot overemphasize this. How that if you're in a position where if you happen to be in a leadership position or title or anything, ensure you don't load it over people, because something in them will fight. Hallelujah. So you lead them. You lead them through influence. You lead them through service. Now, let's go to next verse 26. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your what? Servant. Let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. The word servant is let him be your minister. So he was showing them the greatest secret of leadership. He was telling them, you want to be great, you want to be a leader, serve. Hallelujah. Serve. Serve. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. Can you imagine? But to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wrote something down here. The core of impactful leadership is the orientation of service. So you must have a service orientation. Don't be title oriented or position oriented. Glory to God. Because if you develop your capacity that matches a position, it just gives you a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the focus is you developing your capacity. Service. Do you know that capacity cannot be inherited? Do you understand what I just said? Okay, I'm a medical doctor, and then my child grows up, and then I will my medical certificate to him. Does that make him a medical doctor? Huh? It doesn't. You don't will capacity. You develop capacity. Glory to God. Or like a mighty king that's been fighting battles and everything, and then the child wants to come and inherit. You ought to inherit the throne of your father, and you have not developed that capacity. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So we're going to get into the true concept of what is service. What is service? So Jesus was saying here, leadership is service. Leadership is service. I know you were talking about service in the scriptures. We have many leaders in the scriptures. We talked about David on Sunday. The scriptures are after David, after he had served his generation, slept. He served his generation. For most believers, the only concept of service they understand is, what word would I use now? Let's say protocol. You understand? Okay, do bale. You know, do. Okay, serving. Now, that is just a minute fraction of what really service is. Listen, I'm talking about two things as it relates to service and leadership. Number one, the disposition of your heart. You can write it down. The disposition of your heart. Genuine leadership is about the attitude of the heart. So it's first about the disposition of your heart. You must have a heart of service in order to serve effectively. So it's first about your heart. Your heart for God's people. Your heart of love for humanity. It's first about the attitude of your heart, your mindset, the disposition of your heart, before it is what you go about doing. Glory to God. The shortcut to greatness is service. We'll hear it here time and time again. It's service. The shortcut to greatness, service. Meaning you can serve your way to greatness. You can serve your way to leadership. Hallelujah. The disposition of your heart. Give me Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And then we'll read 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. You know, I love when you read about King David, one of his attributes was, you know, imagine God testifying about a man and saying, I have found my servant David, a man after my own heart. A man after my own heart. Acts 13:32, and when he had removed him, that's talking about Saul now, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony. Oh, glory to God. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So to understand servant leadership, you must understand that it's first of all a disposition of your heart, the attitude of your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you have been there where they force you to do certain things, even you know that you didn't do it with your heart. Right? Somebody said, where I'm kneeling right now, I'm actually standing up. I'm just kneeling in my mind, though. I'm not leaning down. It's an attitude of the mind. The disposition of your heart. So God looks at your heart when you serve. And also when you desire certain things, the most important thing is, what is the state of your heart? That sector where you are, the results you desire and the things you want God to shift and everything, the first thing God is looking at is this disposition of your heart. Meaning, when decisions are being made in the court of heaven, what God is looking at is your heart. Give me 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Meaning, for God to choose you, for God to anoint you, you must pass that test. That love test, he must look at your heart. Now, if you read 1 Samuel 16, this was the account when God instructed Samuel to go and anoint David. Of course, you know from the background, Saul had messed up. Okay, he disobeyed clear prophetic and priestly instruction and did what he was not supposed to do. And God sent Samuel to go anoint one of the sons of Jesse. And they lined up all this. Imagine they ask you as a father to present your son and you forgot one of your sons. That means that person was not your son. He forgot. And then, of course, all the sons were made to pass before Samuel. And then, of course, when you look at the stature of the guy. So the first one was Eliab. And then when Samuel saw him, he said, surely the Lord's anointing, the anointing is on this guy. I know it was the same thing that happened to Saul, right? But hear what God said. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. That's what men look at. Men look at the things you have outside. Men look at the things around you to judge you. Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. That means God considered him. So my question, when did God consider him? That's question number one. Number two, did he know that God considered him? You know, I was having a discussion with someone. I said, there are a lot of people that go around walking. They are doing certain things, making certain decisions, doing certain things. They do not know that decisions are being made on their behalf. Do you know that right now, conversations can be going on concerning you, whether to favor you or not? Discussions. So that means God considered him. But he said, I have rejected him. I have refused him. He said, for the Lord do not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord does what? Looks at what? The heart. That's my emphasis here. The heart. Meaning this was how David passed the test. God was looking at his heart. So where are you right now? Where are you serving? God is looking at your heart. That's the most important thing. Do you know you can work in a company for years and you are not working with your heart? You're just working to find a way to escape. You're not serving God with the whole of your heart. You're not leading there. So how do you want promotion to come if you do not serve? Hallelujah. The disposition of your heart, very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you must have the heart for people. You must have the heart for God's people. Listen, there's nothing wrong if another person succeeds or if you help another person succeed and you have not yet succeeded. Do you understand? Maybe using external measures or external support system. Glory to God. There's nothing wrong with that. But most times, of course, you know, people can be selfish. When they are getting things done or they are supposed to get certain things done, the first thing they think about is, what's in it for me? Do you understand? What am I to gain from this? These things are in the scriptures. He talked about faithfulness in three levels of faithfulness, right? Faithfulness in little things, faithfulness in what? In mammon, and faithfulness what? In that which is another man's. That means where you are right now, where you are serving right now, is a test. Is a test to see the posture of your heart. If you are worthy of the promotion, if you are worthy of the next level. Even in God's house, it's the same thing. Now, many people, that's the only concept of service they understand. They only know about service in context of, okay, my service in God's house, what I do. Now, of course, service is beyond that, but that is also important. God is looking at the disposition of your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following? So David served his generation. Served his generation. Heart of service. Heart for God's people. If you read, I think it's 2 Samuel chapter. Is it 1 Samuel 22 now? How people that were distressed, people that were depressed, discontented, they came and met David. And he became a king over them. He served them. And you see, when you track it down later, some of these men became the mighty men of David. So question, do you have heart for people? or you feel somehow when your neighbor succeeds or hammers. You know what I mean by a hammer, right? Okay, pardon me. Nigerian palace, when you blow, when you hammer, do you understand? When you arrive, glory to God. The truth is, if you do not pass the service test, there's no promotion for you. You will pass it to, I assure you, at every level. If you like, don't service in God's house. In the marketplace, you will meet it there. And that's why when you attempt to start doing something, you don't want to serve, you want to keep pushing, the struggle is plenty. It's plenty. A man of God said, if you're perceiving that you have a calling of God upon your life, you want to go and start ministry, the first thing is not to start, is to go and look for a place to serve. Offer value. So are you offering value where you are right now? Are you taking charge? Are you serving? Because serving is leading. Glory to God. Serving is leading. You know, as told us on Sunday about Mother Teresa, about her selfless service to humanity, selfless humanitarian work that she did. She was motivated with the love for the poorest of the poor, love for people, heart for people. You see all those NGOs, all these humanitarian services you are seeing right now, she was one of the people that pioneered it. Building orphanages, educating poor people, building homes for people that are afflicted with HIV and AIDS. For you to do that, you must have a heart of service, a heart for people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I told you, like I said on Sunday, she said, don't wait for so-called leaders like those in authority or in position to get things done. At the level that you are, move and get things done. Now, if you cannot feed 100 people, at least you can feed one person. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you understanding the concept of service? And that is what genuine leadership is. It is service. Service to God, service to humanity, adding value where you are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's the disposition of the heart. Very, very important. You know, she said something here that I wrote. When you judge someone, you have no time to love them. When you judge someone, you have no time to love them. Glory to God. Let me move. My time is moving very fast. The second thing is, how do I serve others? How do I serve others? Listen. No greatness. There's no greatness anywhere without service. And then people see, you know, when people do not have a perfect understanding of what truly service is, they miss the point. So people think, okay, if you are in leadership position, you are not necessarily one serving. So it's those that are followers or those that are employees, they are the ones serving. But that's not true. You know that right now, as I am teaching God's word, I am serving you. Do you know that it's service? I'm serving you. That's service. So meaning everybody is faced with the same thing. Meaning at the level where you are, you serve. At pastor's level, we are serving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What do I serve others? Now, I wrote something that you must discover your unique inherent gift and assignment and serve it to your world. Meaning, serve your gift to your world. Serve your talent to your world. That is service. And that's where the concept of servant leadership comes from. Meaning, your unique giftings, your unique talents, your unique assignment. Serve it to your world. Meaning, when you add value to others, when you add value where you are serving your world. You are serving. And that is leadership. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, Miles Monroe said something. He said, all true leaders are simply glorified servants. All true leaders are simply glorified servants. Meaning, you will serve. I know this whole concept of, well, me, I don't, you're just trying to dodge. I don't want people to use me. This one is even low level. It's low level. Do you understand? You see people in church, well, before you know, they don't want to participate, okay? They don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to get involved, okay? Offer the value they have. And that's why I said, it's about you serving people. Serving God with your inherent abilities, with your inherent talents and gifts. That's the true concept of servant leadership. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So find your domain and serve it to your world. Lead through service. Serve all. Serving others does not make you inferior to them. Hallelujah. Nobody loses by serving. Even if people despise you, people look down on you because of the position you are, then you do not lose by serving. You don't. Hallelujah. You don't lose by serving. Make up your mind to live a life of service to God and a life of service to humanity. A life that adds values to people. A life that adds value where you are. You remember on Sunday I was telling you that some of you need character, you need capacity to truly add value where you are. I told you not to be a mediocre where God has placed you. Don't be the less qualified there. So serve God with your talent, serve God with your giftings. In God's house, serve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes when you serve, you may not see the immediate compensation or reward for service, but it doesn't matter. It's a law in the spirit. When you serve, there's a reward for it. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed this evening? Service. So leading through service. Lead through service. Live a life of service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we're talking about David the other time. I don't have much time to talk about the opportunities for service he had, and he maximized it. Imagine being anointed as the latest king, and they now sent you back to taking care of the sheepfold. God orchestrated in such a way that he had to go to the palace to go and serve. If it's in Africa, you won't agree. We don't agree of such things here. You've anointed before your brethren as king. Next is to go and overthrow the next king and enthrone yourself. Hi, if you have not studied about David, take time to study about King David. A lot of lessons from David. Hallelujah. His heart. That heart of service. Serve people. And let me say this. When we talk about service, we're not just saying offering service to those above. Hallelujah. Not just offering value to those above. Offering value to those at the same level you are and to those below you. That's in quotes now. Do you understand? Because there's no competition anywhere. If we say those below you, are just saying it based on maybe the organizational structure or something. But everybody is unique. Everybody is unique. So are you serving where you are? That's my question. Are you taking the lead where you are? Or you are lording it over them and you're showing them I am the boss. Service. Kingdom service. I used to have conversations with people. I tell them, where I am right now, where we are right now, is because we serve. And we are still serving. If service is the only thing you know, you are a success. If God can make you a servant, if he can give you that disposition of a servant, he has made you. He has made you. There are doors that will not open to you. That is only service that opened that door. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following me? So you owe it to your generation to serve them. And that's why I kept reading that scripture, Acts 13, verse 36, talking about King David. After he had served his generation. So serve your generation. What do you have to offer them? Serve your generation. He said, creations are waiting for the revealing, for the manifestations of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting me this evening? So when you discover yourself, you express yourself, you release yourself, you add value to your world, that is service. And let me just emphasize this as we round up. Pay attention to service in God's house. Service for the influence of the kingdom of God. Pay attention to it. Hallelujah. Because that's a level of service that does a lot to you as a believer. That matures you as a believer. That builds character and capacity in you as a believer. Especially serving in God's house. I won't have time to elaborate on how to serve in God's house and the principle of serving in God's house. But serve. Wherever you are, look for avenue to add value. Do you understand? Don't be that person that abdicates responsibility, that dodges in serving. No. Be eager to take responsibility. Be eager to add value to your world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, take the lead. Tell your neighbor, take the lead. Hallelujah. So serve. So I've helped you understand what the true concept of service is. Beyond just, okay, getting things done and everything. It means discovering who you are and then serving your generation with your talent. Serving your generation with your gift. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you just open your mouth, just close your eyes and just pray in the Holy Ghost this evening. Just thank the Lord and bless His name. Just magnify His name for the word that has come. Hallelujah. Say this, I serve my word. I am given to service. I'm given to service. I don't have enough time to talk to you about the hallmark of acceptable service as it relates to God's house. Okay, but it's a disposition. It's first of all a disposition of your heart. A heart for people. A heart of love. A heart to make things work. A heart to help people succeed. A heart to help people do well. Open your mouth and just pray in the spirit. Manto sabrando la bashanda gaskata. Erre sevrendo shengen dos evido sabate. Ella paton suskepa. Rushkepa, rushkepa. Rabando sabrando copalatons esketonza. Father, we thank you. Oh, I have a disposition of service in the name of the Lord Jesus. Begin to pray. Father, I serve my generation. I make it a decision to add value to my generation, to serve my generation like David did, serving his own generation. I serve my generation in the name of the Lord Jesus. Kapando la vida, gemando sevrido copa, rega benda ezefreka patosa. Londo copande sevido recapate recapatosa isapapate. Can you rise to your feet? Just rise on your feet. Ishapatonda licopa lebando sobregopa. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I am given to service. I receive that heart of service in the name of the Lord Jesus. Kalabaluta. Can we just have the communion still? We'll just rush forward. Manto sabali de sabate, elefrendo sebrendo scapaliata, la paton zuskepa liketete, regedede zevregete. Begin to declare, I take charge, I take charge, I take the lead in the name of Jesus. Yes, I exercise my dominion, I take responsibility for my word, for my responsibility for making things work where I am. responsibility in my family, responsibility ele paton soske pa le bando koske ton zefriade ele papaka taka 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 ratata taka paka teke pati Jabakaton Zoskeba, Eretetetaka Pakakota, Ilapandaka, 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 Elapaka Souza, Shepete, Eretetetetetetet. Oh, Father, we thank you. Yes, a heart of service I receive in the name of Jesus. A heart of service I receive in the name of Jesus. I serve my generation. Emando Lamanokoskata. Father, as we take this communion, Father, we decree and declare that the Lord has magnified us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Suddenly, our value has increased in the sight of the people. Just like the scripture says in Joshua, he said, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of the people. Father, we take this communion into kingdom influence in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. As it comes to you, I want you to break it and take the communion and begin to make declarations. Hallelujah. You can serve the communion. Just take it. Begin to make declaration. Begin to declare, Father, in this season, it is kingdom influence for me in the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. I take charge. I take the lead where I am in the name of the Lord Jesus.
I see the Lamb slain. See the Lamb slain.
Thank you, Spirit of God.
I see the Lamb slain. I see the Lamb slain.
Shapa,
see the Lamb slain. Feet on the roasting lamb. I put my faith in thee. I am dead. Say, I see the lamb.
Once it comes to you, I want you to make declaration. You can go ahead and take the communion.
Oh, I see the lamb slain. Right before the foundations of the earth. Feed on the roasted lamb. I put my faith in thee.
We should pray. We're going to pray for preservation of every of your loved ones, your family, everyone that is connected to you. Glory to God. Job chapter 1 verse 10, he said, has thou not made an edge of fire round about him and his family and round about everything that he has? You have blessed the works of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. Can you lick hand with your neighbor? We're going to stand on this blood
And we will declare, Father, in this month there is no loss. In this month we will make declarations, Father, everyone is preserved. Every of my loved ones, I don't know who that person is that had a dream recently. You had a dream that you lost somebody. Ah, kalama no sabaya. You had a dream that somebody died. It's clear. You know it's clear. We're going to open our mouth and on that is Ashila Patosa standing on the blood of this everlasting covenant. You are going to make declarations. You will declare preservation upon everyone. There is no loss. We speak preservation. We speak preservation. We speak preservation. We speak exemption for the people of God. Exemption for the people of God. Pray in the Spirit. Shababakate elepeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeketeket Rapakata Rapapate Elepekete. There shall be no loss. Declare, in my family there shall be no loss. In this month of September, I declare miraculous deliverance. Miraculous deliverance. I abata the terror of the Lord goes before my family. In the name of Jesus, there is no loss. My sin is no loss. In the entire glory zone, no loss. Come on, pray one more minute. Shepe tete, lika pilatisa palarias, epa tesaka, ishapa kontala, ibatandeka. We stand on this blood and we declare preservation. We declare Passover. We declare exception. Shepekete ilapatosa erete. No loss. No loss. By accident, no loss. By kidnapping, no loss. Ayapata. Suicide, no loss.
Now you're going to pray. Lastly, you're going to pray for our senior pastor. You're going to pray for his family. You're going to pray for all the pastors in Glory Zone Church. We're going to declare Li Palatosa. Every weapon formed against them will not prosper. In the name of the Lord Jesus, every tongue that rises against them, we condemn. We declare preservation upon our set man and his family. We declare preservation upon every anointed man of God, every pastor. La Patosa, let there be supernatural deliverance. Come on, pray, pray. Our senior pastor, we declare preservation. We declare preservation for his family. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, declare, it's a new level for me. It's a new level for me. It's a new season. Yes, my life is shifting. My life is shifting. My life is taking a new phase. It's a new level. It's a new level. Yes, it's a new level. Glory to God, it's a new level. Yes, yes, it's a new level. Scream it, rejoice. This is a shout. All to God with a voice of triumph. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this evening? Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, there's exemption for the people of God. And we are preserved. We are untouchable. Hallelujah. I want you to go with that confidence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Beloved, we know you've been blessed by God's word today. For more life-transforming messages like this, you can visit our website, library.gloryzoneglobal.org, and you can also follow us on our various social media platforms on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Glory Zone Church. Stay blessed.